Good evening, I live in, you're now live.
Good evening. Thank you very much, Jake. I was always wanting to begin by giving a special call out and thank you to Jake Weinman for his incredible efforts and kindness in all that he does in bringing us together to learn the words of Hashem every night, the entire week. May Hashem bless him with Kol Mili D'Netav, all the good things. A very simple, sweet translation of that famous Maamar Chazal. This week is Parshas Re'eh. Re'eh Enochi Nosim Lefnechem Hayoim Barocha Uklola. In this week, we towards the end of the parasha, actually the end of the parasha, we come across all, well, I should say all, but most of the Moad. Many of our festivals are presented at the end of the parasha. Shalosh Ugolim. And in fact, we learn this, is a very popular Kriya Satoy, we learn this on Shmini Atzeres and Chutz Li'aretz, and we learn this on all the Moadim. The second day of Yom Tov, on all of the Moadim, the Shalosh Ugolim, we learn the Kriya from Parshas Re'eh, this week's parasha, where we mention the Shalosh Ugolim. And then we start a little bit earlier. We usually start with Kol HaBachor, where we mention some of the laws of Korbanos to bring a carbon that is not of a blemish. And on Shmini Atzeres, we read from Aser to Aser, the mitzvah of giving tzedakah. But we conclude with Shamar, Eschoydesh, Aviv, Yosisa, Pesach, Lashem, Elokecha, Kibchoydesh, Aviv, Hoytziach, Hashem, Elokecha, Mimitzrayim, Loyla. Okay. And then we go further, and we read about the mitzvah, we read about, you know, all the laws of Pesach, Karban Pesach. We then read about the Yom Tov of Shavuos, and then Chag HaSukkos, a general concluding theme of Shalosh Pa'amim Bashna Yer, called Zechur Chas Pnei Hashem Lokecha B'Mokom Asher Yivchar. Three times a year is there an obligation for every single Jew to ascend to Eretz Yisrael, to the Beis HaMikdash, and appear before Hashem to bring special carbon re'iyah, carbon chagiga, ish kemanas yadoi kevirkas, Hashem elokecha asher nosamach. Now what's interesting about this kriya is that there's a parallel to this kriya in Parshas Emor. Parshas Emor as well, we are presented with all of the Moadim. And it starts in the sixth Aliyah, Parshas Emor, towards the end of the Parsha, similar to this week's Parsha, where the Moadim appear at the end of the Parsha. And we start there, Vayidaber Hashem Moshe Lemor, Daber Bnei Yisrael Lemor, Bachamish Osu Yom HaChodesh HaShvi. I'm sorry, only before that. Sorry, first start with Shabbos. Go back a little bit, not Shishi. We go back way before that. We go back to Revi, and we begin with the Moadei Hashem, and we learn about Shabbos, and then we learn about an introduction to all of the Moadim, about Pesach, of course, the Shalosh Ugolim, and here it's a little bit more. We embellish it with Rosh Hashanah and Yom HaKippurim as well. Not just the Shalosh Ugolim, but the Shon and Yom HaKippurim. The question I want to pose is following. We know that Rashi tells us in the beginning of the Torah that the Torah really should have begun in Parshas Bo with the section that discusses concept that in the Jewish calendar we begin from Chodesh Nisan. Although we have a tradition that the world began to some degree in Chodesh Tishrei, and in fact on Rosh Hashanah coming very soon, we celebrate Rosh Hashanah, the new year, the calendar year changes in Chodesh Tishrei, the first day of Tishrei. But Chazal tells us, the Torah tells us, HaChodesh HaZeh Lochem, Rosh Chodoshim, Rishon Hu Lachem, Chodshei Hashanah. Chodesh Nisan is the first month of the year, not Tishrei and not any other time. And in our Jewish calendar, that's where we calculate time. And therefore, Pesach is celebrated in what we refer to as the first month. Shavuos is celebrated in the third month. And Rosh Hashanah is celebrated in the seventh month. Yom Kippur as well, and Sukkot and Shemini Atzeres. And the Torah is very clear that this is something very important. Whenever we calculate time, we should always be aware that Chodesh Nisan is considered to be the first month, and all other months follow from that number. In Megillas Esther, when the Psukim record significant events in the story of Purim, the Psukim there tell us it was Chodesh so-and-so, which is this particular number, Chodesh Nisan, Shu Chodesh Rishon. I don't have a familiar Psukim at this moment, but we have, let's say, Chodesh Adar, which is the 12th month of the year. The Psukim tell us in the Megillah not just the name of the month, but they tell us, and the names, of course, in the Megillah, that refers to the secular names that we took with us when we were in Golos, but also mentions the month, the number of the month, to fulfill what the very first mitzvah of the Torah requires of us, to calculate time from Chodesh Nisan. Nisan is the first month. HaChodesh Hazeh Lochem Rosh Chodoshim Rishon Hu Lochem Chodesh Hashanah. So here's the question I want to pose. Parshas Emor is a significant section of the Torah where the Torah presents the Moadim, all of the Moadim. Shabbos, the Shalosh Regalim, Rosh Hashanah, Yom Kippur, they're all presented very clearly in Parashas Emor. And in fact, on the Moadim, on the Shalosh Regalim, we learn from Parashas Emor. On Pesach, we learn from Emor. Shavuos, we do not, because Shavuos, we read from Matan Torah, the theme of the day of Parashas Yisrael. But on Sukkos, we also learn in the first days from Parashas Emor, where we mention all of the Moadim. In Chutz Li'aretz, we parallel Parashas Emor by reading from Parashas Re'eh on the last days, Shemini Atzeres, or the seventh day of, or the last days of the Shalosh Regalim. We learn from Parashas Re'eh. It appears to be very clear, the fact that in Chutz Li'aretz, the beginning of the Moed, we read from Parashas Emor, and the end of the Moed, we read from Parashas Re'eh, there is a parallel. Both of these sections in the Torah are presenting to us the Moadim, and the Shalosh Regalim, it is important for us to put them in perspective and read the entire section of the Torah where all of the Moadim are presented, and therefore these are the two significant sections of the Torah that present to us the Shalosh Regalim. And therefore, that's why in the beginning of the festival we read from Parshas Emor, and at the end of the festival we read from Parshas Re'eh. They, to a degree, parallel one another. But there's a significant difference. There are many significant differences, many. But for now, let's focus on this idea. Why is it in Parshas Emor, each one of the festivals is introduced with its month, not just the month, meaning the number, the way that the Torah refers to a specific month, which is its number. For example, in Parshas Emor, in the very beginning, Eile Moadi Hashem Nikoi Kodesh Asher Tikro Sando Moadam, when we enter into Pesach, the Pasuk begins, B'Chodesh HaRishon, the first month. B'arbo'o oso l'chodesh bein ho'arboyim Pesach la'Hashem. In the first month, on day 14, we offer the Korban Pesach. uvachamisha osa yom b'chodesh hazeh. And then when we come to the 15th day, it's Chag HaMatzos. When we come to the next festival, we come to Shavuos. Shavuos in this pasuk is just considered to be an extension of Pesach. We count 50 days until we come to the Yom Tov of Shavuos. Here indeed there is no mention of a number because Shavuos is the culmination of Pesach. But when we come to Rosh Hashanah, the pasuk begins, Ba'aber el b'nei Yisrael leimar, Ba'chodesh ha-shevi'i, in the seventh month, Be'echol ha-chodesh. When we come to Yom Kippurim, again, Ach be'asar, in the tenth day, La'chodesh ha-shevi'i. When we come to Sukkos, Ba'aber el b'nei Yisrael leimar, Ba'chamisha osa yom, La'chodesh ha-shevi'i. And then again, it repeats itself towards the end of the parasha when it tells us, don't forget to dwell in the Sukkos and to take the Dalad Minim, Ach b'chamisho osayim l'chodesh ha-shevi'i. So there's something very clear that is taking place in Parashas Emor. As the parasha, the Torah, presents each moed, each festival, it introduces the festival by telling us in which month it occurs. And the way the Torah defines the month is by its number. Is it the first month? Is it the seventh month? Each of the festivals presented are referred to by their order in the month. However, in Parashas Re'eh, there is no mention at all of the name of the month, which certainly cannot be because there were no names for months given at this time. But we don't refer to the month by its number. Parashas Re'eh, when we begin with Pesach, we refer simply to Pesach falling out in the Chodesh Ha'aviv, the spring. When we refer to Sukkos, we refer to it falling out at the time B'Aspecha, Migornecha u'miyikzecha, at the time of the year when you gather in your grain, the harvest season, for the grain products, and the yayin u'miyikzecha, the wine vat, time when we harvest the grapes. We do not define the festival as taking place in a month, referring to the month by its number. As what the Torah really requires of us in the beginning of the Torah, in Parashas Bo, of to calculate, to refer to time by numbers. Rishon hu lochem l'chodshei hashana. Here we don't refer to Pesach as being the Rishon hu lochem l'chodshei hashana. When we say, refer to Pesach being in the Chodesh, we call it the Chodesh Ha'aviv. What happened to its number? Why isn't the number presented nice and orderly and neatly as the Torah emphasizes with an intensity in Parashas Emor? So I want to suggest a very simple answer. Very simple answer. In Chodesh, in Parashas Emor, all of the Moadim, a set of Moadim, we repeat again and again the month, when it occurs, and the number. Whenever you have a set of numbers, that automatically creates an impression, a statement, that there's a series, there is a process, there is a progression, there is a goal. We are delicately proceeding ahead to reach, to achieve a purpose. And that involves a process. You start with one, you go to two, to three, to four, and you come to an end. The word Rishon has a connotation, there's something to come. There's a two. there's a 3, there's a 4. When you don't have a number and you mention there's a holiday that takes place in this time of the year, and there's a holiday that takes place in this time of the year, and a holiday that takes place at that time of the year, you have given us, given your listeners, a message that the festivals or the events that we are describing are not dependent one on the other. They're independent. Each one stands alone. Each one has its own limelight. And perhaps that's exactly the purpose, the message of the Torah. There are different dimensions to celebrating, enjoying the holidays. On the one hand, the holidays are a process. We start out, we make believe, we reenact, we re-experience the Exodus. We were slaves in Egypt. And the first experience is to leave Egypt with miracles, nisim and deflois. And then we see ourselves traveling in the desert, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu brings us to Har Sinai, and we accept the Torah. And then we continue to travel forward towards Eretz Yisrael, and Hashem protects us with Sukkos. And in part of the process, we had some difficulties where we did Averos, Chet HaEgel. So in part of that process, there was a period of din of judgment, and there was Kapara, atonement. When Moshe Rabbeinu went to Shemana, was Mispalo, and he came down on Yom HaKippurim, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu forgave us. There's a process. It is critical. When we attach ourselves to the Mo'adim, that we put ourselves in that process. We relive not just a single holiday, but we live the holiday, each individual holiday, together with all of the other holidays as one process, one complete set. Each one we understand and we observe and enjoy it relative to the other festivals. The whole is greater than the sum of the parts. On the other hand, there are elements and there are times in our life where we're not able to do that. We are distracted. We are overwhelmed with the basic activities and struggles and tribulations of life. And it's not always possible for a person to connect all the dots. The Torah tells us in Parashas Re'eh, that's okay. That's perfectly fine. There's something to be, there's a benefit to be derived in enjoying each holiday independently. When you're experiencing Pesach and Chodesh Aviv, you don't have to think about Shavuos. You don't have to concern yourself with Sukkos. When you're celebrating Sukkos, it's not necessary to reflect how you got here, the steps that were necessary to bring you to Sukkos. If a person could only experience each festival relative to the other festivals, and there's something which goes wrong, a person at a certain time of the year is overwhelmed with different activities which prevent him from delving into the beauty of the holiday the way that he should, it's okay. Don't give up. Don't assume that if you miss one part of the process, everything falls away. It's not true. Each holiday can be observed, can be enjoyed, can be celebrated. There's what to learn, even if each holiday is alone and isolated in its own setting. There's the ideal. There's certainly a higher level of connecting the dots. But there's what to be enjoyed and what to be achieved in each holiday I itself. And therefore, the Torah presents to us the festivals in two different fashions, two different ways. Parshas Emor and Parshas Re'eh. We lay them both. In the beginning of the festival, we lay from Emor. At the end of the festivals, we lay from our parasha, Parshas Re'eh. In the beginning of the festival, when we read from Emor, we read how all of the holidays are sequenced. The numbers of the months are presented. It's a process. That's an ideal. That's a very high level. It's something that we strive for. But when the festival is over, we come to the end. If it happened that we did not achieve to synchronize all of the festivals into one sequence, and we only come out of the festival with the festival itself, the benefit of what we've achieved, that's also perfectly fine. There's a benefit in just isolating each Yom Tov, enjoying it, learning from it, and coming closer to Hashem with what it has to offer. Two different dimensions to our festivals. Interesting that Chumash Devarim is a Chumash that commentators tell us is more focused on the exile of the Jew living in Golos. Moshe Rabbeinu, when he begins Chumash Devarim, tells the Jewish people that he's not going to enter into the land, and he has to prepare them. There are tones of acknowledging that the Jewish people will go into exile. And Moshe Rabbeinu reviews the Torah and all the mitzvot in a different perspective of how to adhere and achieve and come close to Hashem in Golos. The first four Chumashim are focused more of on the ideal of the Jewish people living in Eretz Yisrael b'zman shebeit hamikdash hayakayim. And therefore, we get a bit better appreciation than Chumash Devarim Parshas Re'eh. It's telling us that in Golos, when we are in Golos, and we don't have the Beis Hamikdash, we don't have the benefits of everything that the Yom Tov has to offer for us, we are definitely losing a bit of that sequence, of that big picture, that process that takes us, carries us through all of the Moadim. And that's okay. And Chumash Devarim Moshe Rabbeinu was telling us in Golos, you don't have the Beis Hamikdash, you don't have the opportunity to absorb the Shechina. It's okay. Take what you can. Enjoy every small mitzvah, every experience. Exploit each unique opportunity to achieve greatness, closest to Hashem, and success in your life. Thank you very much for listening and joining us. Have a wonderful evening, a wonderful week. Good night.